Para los que no sois de aquí,
for those of you who are not Spanish and not familiar with our orchestra, I'll just give you a quick introduction and say that Euskadi is a small regional region with under 2.2 million inhabitants, and it's important to point that out because I'll be given some numbers later, just so you realize that we are a small region, the autonomous community of the Basque Country. And our symphony orchestra in 2012 had 7,000 season ticket holders, an average of 150,000 tickets sold per season. And our educational department had about 8,000 users during the last season. And these figures are actually very good. I think Iñigo will probably agree if I say that the Euskadi Symphony Orchestra doesn't really have a problem attracting audiences. We have a lot of popular demand, so there's no problem there. But in spite of that, in the last few years, our educational and social activities have been growing nonstop in number and in importance and in the diversification of the activities we carry out. And so the question we're asking is, if we are doing so well and we have so much paying audience, why are we organizing all of these activities? And I suppose the answer is connected to something that we've been saying whenever we get a chance, and which is also connected to the theme of this conference. And after listening to all the speakers in the session, in the previous session, I think we will all agree that in the past, all of these activities were mostly about PR and about increasing our visibility and bringing in future public. And now I think that's no longer the case. I think now we all feel that this is part of our social responsibility and our mission. It's a new stage in which we offer more services to more people and to more groups within our communities here and now, because we feel that it's our responsibility and our mission. And I think that's the major change in with respect to the previous situation. That is, we don't do all of this as advertising and to guarantee future customers. Whether we'll have customers in the future will depend on a lot of things. Compulsory education, social trends, family context, social and economic factors, and we can only do our part within that broader context. And so I was thinking this morning and throughout the morning, really, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but let's just think together. 15 years ago, everything that we've heard today and this whole conference would have been unthinkable. Why? Because there were a lot of obstacles at many levels, which we have now, I think, overcome. And so in that sense, we have to feel optimistic. And I say managers there, because of course it all starts with management. And I think that's changed a lot, their attitudes about what a symphony orchestra is, or a hall, or a foundation of whatever type. And in fact, the proof is that here we are discussing these matters, which we wouldn't have been able to discuss 15 years ago. And then the musicians, I think, have also changed an enormous amount. We've just seen those videos Jordi showed. I'm going to show some too. Musicians have changed too. But continuing with what we've heard here this morning, you can't, of course, expect everything from musicians. You can't expect them to also be experts in education and in dealing with particularly difficult groups. So that's definitely not the way. It is one of the ways, but you can't expect that a musician that has been hired to play in a symphony orchestra also be an incredible communicator and have enormous empathy towards certain social groups overnight. So I think this change amongst musicians and management has given rise to new community-based proposals targeting the whole community, and I think that's the major change. We'll try and reach a lot more people and many different profiles. But there's always a but. There is one thing where we are perhaps lagging behind, and that is that in spite of all these changes we've achieved, institutions, in this case symphony orchestras, have been rather slow in altering their structure so that all of these things that we've been discussing here can be implemented successfully. And when I say that they've been, or we've been slow in adapting our structures, I mean that nobody will question in a symphony orchestra that you have to have an archivist, for instance. Yeah, that's essential for a symphony orchestra. And we want somebody who's well-trained and with the right diploma, because that's a big responsibility. And I think now we have to realize that just like symphony orchestras need an archivist, you also need a well-trained, well-qualified professional to lead these kinds of projects, because there might be orchestras that will have a musician or two capable of leading these projects, and others which will not have such people. In any case, it's not really their responsibility, is it? There should be professionals in charge of these things. And we'll be talking about this afternoon, and these professional profiles haven't yet been defined. That's the paradox. And that's, I think, the challenge ahead. The challenge is for orchestras to hire specialists in these things, and if possible, to have well-trained specialists. But of course, it's a very diverse profile that you need to lead these kinds of projects. You need to know music, you need to be a good educator, you need to be a good communicator, you have to understand the social media, and so on and so forth. It's a lot of requirements, but it is possible. But the thing is, and we must admit, that no Spanish orchestra is offering the right training for this kind of profile right now. Okay, and after this more political speech I wanted to make, let's continue with the change I've referred to. Management clearly has changed a lot, as we've heard the last couple of days. And musicians, after watching these videos from Jordi, let me show you a video about one of our projects. Well, I'll skip this. The project we carry out with FEBAS, which is the Basque Federation of Associations of People with Mental Disability. We've been carrying these projects out since 2009. And according to Valeria González, who is our liaison in this federation, it seems that it's a successful partnership for both sides. And so I'm going to ask them to show us this video about last season, 2011-12. I'm Carlos, and it's been a wonderful experience for me, a wonderful audience. Whenever you give this kind of performance, it's amazing to see their degree of concentration and enjoyment, and especially respect to others, towards others. Did you enjoy it? Yeah. And I think you danced a little, too. Yeah. My name is Mario Talenti. I play the horn at the Euskadi Symphony Orchestra. And I was pleasantly surprised by the silence the minute you start the music. Moving, exciting, their enjoyment and their laughter, but especially the silence, the respect towards the music. It was the first time I came, and I really liked the concert. And then we got up to the workshop, and I enjoyed playing the instruments. I had a great time. My name is Tomás Ruti. I played Fagot, the Euskadi Symphony Orchestra. It was a great pleasure to take part in this concert series and to see these people having a wonderful time and enjoying something which is so natural for us. The conductor, I really like the conductor. My name is Javier Lacumberri and I play the oboe at the Euskadi Symphony Orchestra, and these have been the most joyful concerts I've ever experienced.
Me interesaba mucho ponerlo porque en 2009, cuando comenzamos,
I did want to play this because when we started off in 2009 and the first time I addressed the musicians to propose this activity, I had a hard time finding a few volunteers to participate, whereas in this release, all these people who spoke in the video actually volunteered ahead of time. They prepared an activity. It was perfectly structured, nearly half an hour long, to work with these people, show them their instruments, etc., allowing them, all of them, to play their instruments. So here's a shift that we need to feel proud of. And I would say this shift has come from the results we've had. Obviously, there is always a pessimistic person around, but I believe that we're having a very positive present time and a very encouraging future. And just to leave you with a smile before lunch, I will show you a project we started off 2 years ago called Sinfo Kids. And this is a project we undertook between the Symphonic Orchestra of Euskadi and Public Basque TV, along with education centers. Maybe you can play it as I speak. These contents were created along with Basque schools. First, we worked with a school from one specific neighborhood school from Bilbao, and this one was done with the town called Zornotza, their elementary school. And, it features cartoons. This is a cartoon. This is a monster that wants to eat up music, wants to eat up all the music. And we combined these images with part of the repertoire of the Symphonic Euskadi Orchestra. Maybe we can give it a little bit of audio for the background only, maybe? And it relates to activities performed by these children from the music school. It eats up, the monster eats up all sorts of music, all the music in the planet. And children are the ones not only to perform, but also to manage all the activities. And the final product we get from this Sinfo Kids is distributed to all education units, to all schools in the Basque region, as backup material for teachers. And this is something I would like for us to explain this afternoon, because in the video we explain things in connection with the symphony orchestra. I don't know in other places, but in the Basque country, music education is already guaranteed in public schools via a network of 89 music schools with 40,000 students. So the aim of this project is getting primary school children to approach the orchestra in a different way. It's a different way of perceiving an orchestra, of making it part of society. And since I really have to rush through it, right, Inigo? I don't have a lot of time left. So, I will just deliver a couple of bullet point conclusions. This DVD is not out for sale, which is distributed in schools. It's absolutely beautiful. It involves a lot of hard work. We've involved people from Basque TV, graphic designers, actors, and we also do it in Basque, English, and Spanish for music teachers to be able to teach in these three languages, or any of the three, as they prefer. And that will close. With these bullet points, I very much doubt we will have any debate being this close to lunch. But the conclusions are education departments or social departments, as in the case of your, or whatever you want to call it, is fundamental in a symphony orchestra or a theater or any other similar institution wanting to push these programs forward, because it takes people with truly specific expertise. I believe we need more fora to exchange ideas and proposals, just like this conference, because we're going through very interesting times and many ideas can be exchanged and used with other regions or countries. So I believe that events like this are tremendously necessary. Also, we need more projects, particularly cooperation projects, activate processes in schools. And, well, for the last three, there's one thing that might be very helpful, the ROCE, the Network of Educational Concert Organizers. Well, obviously, this involves so much more than education activities. It involves socio-educational. But that's the name of the network, ROCE, R-O-C-E. And it might be the launching platform to gather further players. That's all. Thank you very much, and have a nice lunch.